It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hey, Steven. Hey, Swiggies. Welcome to another awesome, exciting, fun, bubbly episode of Swift and Swigs with Sibs. I'm your Sib, Sam.
Hi. Welcome back. Hey, this feels good. Like, this feels like we have cleansed the Eras Tour.
Yeah.
Like, recap. Like, that just felt so cathartic.
Yeah, it was like a weight through that experience off of our chests, I think. Especially for you, because you were holding in those feelings for weeks.
Right.
When we finally got to chat about our Eras Tour experience, it was like a release, for sure.
I know.
Now
we can just, like, settle back into, like, just good old Swifty songs and swigs.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah. I mean, it's the peak of summer right now, and I'm just loving these, like, fun summer Taylor songs. So it just feels good. I love this time of year. I love doing this with you, Rachel. On the Eras topic, though, I am excited that now that I'm out of my Eras tour experience, I can now live stream the whole show.
Yes.
And so.
So fun, right?
I'm a little ridiculous. I live streamed both nights in Seattle.
How did you do that? I mean, you have an extra hour. You're one hour closer.
Yeah, no, I was tired. In fact, I did fall asleep before night two surprise songs, and I was kicking myself. Why did she put that so late in the set? It's tough. It's fun to relive the experience through a really crappy cell phone live stream.
It's so bad, isn't it?
It's so bad.
So, okay, so you're now into the, like, live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to refresh my memory what the surprise songs.
Oh, they were good, of course. Are they ever bad? Night one, we got that's funny. We got...
It is a we.
No, what is it? I just had it in my mind. Oh, we got a Reputation song, and it's the one Reputation song that I've considered to be probably my least favorite, but when she played it acoustically, what a good time. And it was, this is why we can't have nice things. That was wonderful. She also played Everything Has Changed on the piano. Ed Sheeran did not show up.
I thought it was funny how she, like, kept saying, like, there's not a surprise guest. I promise, there's not.
She said,
like,
it.
No, really.
She said
there's
it
not.
So many times that we were confused as if she was lying to us or not. But
yeah.
Taylor is very sneaky and cryptic, but one thing she doesn't do is lie.
Lie, exactly.
Except for the time when she said not a lot going on at the moment, but secretly she was writing folklore.
That's true.
And then the night two was also... Message in a Bottle was very fun on guitar. Also beautiful acoustically. I mean, that song is really fun. It's such a bop the way it's produced. But acoustically, like, great song. What was the second? What was the piano song? I don't remember.
The piano song was good, though.
Oh, it was Tied Together with a Smile,
I don't know that one.
That's from Debut, and it's... I've listened to Debut a handful of times. I think it's probably my favorite off of Debut. So that was exciting. As a person who got a Debut song on his surprise songs, I love those moments because it's just like all the OG Swifties come alive during that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, the stadium in Seattle was super fun. I saw all these perspectives of, like, people that live like on the edge of the parking lot, and so they could see into the show from their apartment.
Wow.
So
cool.
Super cool. So
it's got like a Wrigley stadium, like outside stadium.
Like a rooftop outside of Wrigley.
Roof stadium vibe.
Vibe for sure.
Yes. I love it.
So, but yeah, that's all the Taylor talk. I've got. So, unless you have something else, we can move on to new shit.
No, the only thing I have is I've been wearing my bracelets everywhere.
Yeah,
I go. And yep.
That was a little ASMR for you guys.
That was great. Nice.
Which bracelets do you wear? What do they say?
I wear Mama Swifty.
That's fun.
No, Mama Swift, which was but I always think about it as Mama Swifty. And I like saw that one and so they were like, pick one. And I saw that one and I just thought it was like the cutest thing because I just think of myself as like a mom who is also a Swifty, even though I know it was about Mama Swift. And I have one from my friends who they each made me one. So one is Best of Times.
These were the best of times, worst of crimes. Match. Yeah.
That was great. A fun one. And
are you wearing all of these?
Yeah, I wear four. Then I wear the one that Leo made me.
What does that one say?
No, I wear five. There's another one. The one that Leo made me, I think I showed it to you, but it says Leo. Okay, it spells that. And then it's L-O-O-V-E, love. And then he spelled...
L-O-O-V-E, sure.
He spelled Taylor Swift T-L-Z-F-T. And I think it's the cutest thing in the whole world. So I wear that one.
Totes adorbs.
Let's stay bubbly and fun and I'm getting thirsty. Oh, but before. I feel like we're doing good. Let's stay good. I want to know, are you onto some new shit?
Yeah. So I doing good. I'm on some new shit. This is the music I've been listening to this week. I have to admit something. I think since I've been a big Swifty, this is the longest I've gone without hitting play on any Taylor Swift songs. So my Eras tour was almost 2 weeks ago. I kid you not, I have not listened to a specific Taylor Swift song in the last 2 weeks. And that is unheard of for me.
Did you just need to like a purge, like a break?
Yeah. I think some of it, part of it is I just need a break. I've been so like Taylor overwhelmed and it was emotional and I just kind of need to like I think it's time to finally be clean. So I'm just taking a break. We're on a break. However,
we're on a break!
I have been listening to Taylor Swift remixes.
That's fun.
So I still am listening to Taylor Swift, but there's a playlist on Spotify called Taylor Swift EDM Remixes. Some of the songs are the remixes that Taylor Swift has actually not published, but like released on her Spotify that other artists have remixed, but that she's shared. And then some of the other songs in the playlists are just like random artists, maybe SoundCloud type artists that are remixing. My favorite one is a remix for Delicate. You can make me a dream. Do the girls, but I won't touch you like I do. But it's really fun. We were actually listening to this in the car driving to the Eras tour, and a little bit in the parking lot before I was like, no, we need the real deal. But it's just a fun way to like switch up, you know, some of the songs you know so well. It's fun to just like get a different twist on them.
Totally.
So that's the new shit I've been listening to is the Taylor Swift EDM party dance remixes.
That's fun. I'm going to look into that. I took a bit of a turn and remembered. So Beyonce was in Minneapolis this yes. past weekend.
Yeah.
So we've moved on from Taylor Swift, and it's basically all things Beyonce slash Barbie. So while I'm excited to explore the Barbie soundtrack, I have not seen the movie yet.
Yeah, same.
So I'm giving it a... I'm waiting on that one. I'm sure that's going to come up in some new shit because I've heard some great things about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remembered how much I loved Beyonce's music last summer, particularly her new album that she came out with, Renaissance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so... Break My Soul has just been fueling my soul.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of other hits on there. So I just dabbled into Beyonce, and I thought that was a good direction to take. Oh, baby, baby, you won't break my soul.
You won't break my soul. You won't break my soul. Yeah, that's great. Mine is coming up for my new shit because my Beyonce concert in Las Vegas is a month from today. And
I forgot you're going! Gosh, I am so
I'm totally
jealous.
Going. And I need to brush up on my Beyonce.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's coming up in future episodes. But great. Well, I love our new shit this week. Enjoy Beyonce. If you have any Beyonce recommendations, because I do need to do a deep dive. I only know like the hits. So send me your Beyonce recommendations as I get ready for my Renaissance tour.
Sam, I am thirsty. Can we start swigging?
Yes. Rachel, you chose the song of this week. Hit us with what we got.
I was thinking of a song that I know that you like. I was thinking of an album that I know that you like. And you have just casually mentioned how much you like Hey Steven in the past. And mm-hmm, I didn't know anything about that song. And I really wanted to get into a song that was new to me.
Yeah.
And so I went with Hey Steven. Like, I wanted to go with some bubbly, like, joy following Ready For It, following Eras Tour.
Yes.
And
yeah. Great
all
choice.
I knew of this song was So that was my beginning. I think this is a fun one to talk about. Some really interesting things we can discover.
Yes.
Or just have fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you chose it. It definitely fits the vibe of the post-Eras depression. It helps to pick us up again. Hey Steven, I know looks can be deceiving, but I know I saw a lot. Right. Well, let's have you lead us off with which cocktail you've paired alongside the song Hey Steven.
Oh man. I have to go first. Okay.
Yes, I would like you to, please.
This was tricky. I was exploring. I couldn't come up with anything until I was thinking about Steven
mm-hmm.
and the name and how Steven is a saint.
Oh.
Which I will bring back this conversation as we get into the lyrics. Because I uncovered a really interesting article from one of my favorite Taylor Swift analysizers analysts.
Analyst is the word.
I think it's because I don't like that word, analyst. It just sounds gross.
Okay.
But, anyway. I was thinking of Steven. So how do I find a St. Steven? How do I find a cocktail that is inspired by St. Steven? And then I remembered our mother has a cocktail recipe book that I got her for Christmas one year that goes through the church calendar and every single day has a saint honored on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And for every saint, there is a cocktail inspired by that saint. Essentially, it's like our podcast, but in like saint and book form.
Instead of Taylor Swift songs. Yes, I have thumbed through that book at Mom and Dad's house. It is a treat. It's very fun. Okay, so you went the St. Stephen route?
Yeah. So I texted our mom and I was like, Mom, what's the cocktail for St. Stephen? And she actually sent me, there's like three for the saint. Hmm. And so I was thinking I was going off of the lyric "A Light in You." Mm-hmm. And I wanted a cocktail. I just wanted a cocktail that was like very light, very fun, very easy. And so this is the cocktail, and it's perfect. It's called A Light in You.
Ooh.
It is equal parts gin and grapefruit juice with just a little bit of sugar.
Hmm.
Not simple syrup, just sugar.
That sounds delightful.
Easy peasy. Throw that into a cocktail shaker with the ice. Shake it 50 times. Because I love a good connection to a lyric number.
Mm-hmm.
So shake it 50 times. You're going to have to count fast because that's a lot of shaking.
That's a lot. You're going to shake it right
off. Just, yeah, exactly. But it's just enough to like get the sugar to dissolve. So it's perfect. And decant it into an ice-chilled glass, and you've got yourself a light in you. Cheers.
Oh, it sounds refreshing on a hot summer's day, too.
It really is. I think of grapefruit as like a winter citrus.
It is, technically.
It is, but I forget that it's really lovely in the winter. I mean, we've got some, like, Paloma is a great summer drink.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually kind of fun to bring it into, like, it's got that little bit of sweet bitter going on. And I love bitter even in this summer. So.
Mm, yum. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, Stephen.
What are you swigging on today?
All right. I'm going to pull it into frame. I know, listeners, you cannot see this, but maybe I'll include it in a video clip on our social media. This is what I'm drinking.
Hmm.
What is it?
I see. Is it wine?
Well, looks can be deceiving.
I love you. You're great.
It looks like a glass of white.
You were like waiting for me to say that, weren't you?
I wanted you to go first because I was hoping that wasn't your idea, and then it looks like a glass of white wine. Like, it could be drinking Chardonnay. It has that color.
Yeah.
I poured it into a wine glass, but looks can be deceiving. It is actually a 50-50 martini.
Whoa.
Which is a type of martini where it's equal parts gin to dry vermouth. I drink a lot of martinis, dirty martinis, where that is not the ratio I do. It's mostly gin.
No.
But this is equal parts gin, equal parts dry vermouth with, not olives or lemon, a dash or two of orange bitters, believe it or not.
Ooh.
So those simple ingredients. And in a way, it's kind of like yours. You did equal parts gin and grapefruit. I did equal parts gin and dry vermouth with a dash of something else.
I need to try that. You know, I've mentioned it before with sherry and how I like to kind of like decrease the alcohol content by adding in sherry.
Yeah.
And I feel like the dry vermouth would do the same kind of thing
because,
mm-hmm. like, a straight-up gin martini can be a strong drink. But if you tame it down with, like, a little lighter dry vermouth, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I still put 2 ounces of gin and 2 ounces of dry vermouth. So it's I wouldn't say it's low ABV, but.
Well, okay.
I got nothing
so
else.
So then you can drink it.
Today. But I'm calling it.
As much as you want.
I'm calling it 50 Reasons Why.
Cheers.
Okie dokie. So, hey, Steven. Of course, we like to break our songs down into 3 segments. We start off with the spirit of the song, what the feeling and what the vibe and what the message of that song means to us. Then we'll get into the musical mixology, where we break down the sound qualities, the instrumentation, the vocals. And then last but not least, Taylor Swift with a twist, the lyrics going into that song. So, Rachel, since you chose this song, why don't you lead us off with telling us, for you, what the spirit of the song is for Hey Steven?
I am happy to. So, off without any research, my gut was, this is a song about a crush. Like, you got a crush on somebody, you've been keeping it a secret, and you can't any longer, and you're telling the world through songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Taylor Swift said just that essentially, when she was asked about the song, which actually I think her quote's kind of funny. I'm going to read it. She said, "It's someone who I've always been friends with and always kind of had a thing for, and he doesn't know. It's always fun for me to put something on the album that is personal, something I know I'm going to have to deal with when the record comes out." Which I thought that last part was so funny because it's like she just knows. And there's a part of her that I think we've talked about how she puts these like really personal details, and there's like an interesting way that when something is so personal, it almost makes it more universal because you like think about like, what is my, who is my Steven, or what is my Steven moment? And then like it allows you to like draw it into your life. But she also knows like we go gaga over like any like little details about her life.
Specific details. And this is a very rare occasion where she actually gives us a specific name for who she's talking about here. The obvious other one is Dear John. However, there is a theory that Dear John is not actually about John Mayer, but that I will save for that episode.
Yep.
We get the guy's name, Steven, and it is about this guy named Steven Barker Biles, I guess is his name. And he's Lyles, not Biles. Maybe I was just like gagging in my throat a little bit.
You don't like any guy that Taylor has a crush on. I'm just noticing that. Like all of a sudden you get really gaggy. So that's really interesting.
I get a little gaggy at these early songs that are, I don't want to say immature, because, I mean, the songwriting is still fantastic, even at such a young age. But compared to, like, Folklore, Evermore, Midnights, that songwriting is so mature compared to, like, this. I get a little gaggy because it's, like, reminiscent of high school. And it's exactly what she was going through at the time, so it makes sense. But, you know, there's a bit of an ick involved. That's not to say that the song gives me the ick. I love this song. It's adorable. It's fun, and it's cute, and it's sort of uplifting. And and those are great qualities of the song. But
I interrupted you. No offense, you were Steven. Describing. You were telling us who this Steven. This icky Steven fella.
I guess he's a guy that, you know, I guess he's another musician that she knows and that she toured with. What's confusing to me is his band opened up for the Fearless tour, which means she had already met him. So she must have known him, had a crush on him, and then wrote the song, and then put it on the record, and then planned a tour, and then asked him to be a part
of
the tour.
That part must have been
the timeline
weird.
Is confusing. Yeah. Well, and I have a quote. She also said about this song that, yes, she had a crush on him, but he doesn't know. She says, "It's going to be interesting when he finds out."
Yeah.
Which I have a question for you, Rachel, for all of the Swiggies listening, for all of the Swifties. Do we think that when Taylor writes a song about a person, now, in the modern Taylor Swift songwriting era, do you think she gets nervous about how that person will perceive that song? Or is she so much more confident now that she doesn't even, like, care about what they think? Or
I think that's a great question. What's interesting is this, you have to think about it in the context of this album. So I think she got more and more specific and more confident. The album itself is called Fearless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the concepts that she explores, particularly in that song, Fearless, is how to find confidence and how to, like stand for what she wants and get what she wants, which moves her into Speak Now when she really starts to, like, fight for her own voice and write her own music. And so I think this was her dabbling with trying to get the courage to actually, like, just it's like writing is her safe space. Like, she couldn't actually
tell the
guy. Send this guy an email.
Right?
But she can write a song about him, which is funny because she says that at the end, you know, how meta.
Yeah. I feel like she isn't super confident with this song. You can get the sense that she's shy. And I just think about how this was when she was, you know, around 18 years old. That's 15 years ago now. How much she's probably grown in her confidence now. Just when she was a teenager writing this song in particular, all of us at that age are just a lot not quite as confident, right, as we get when we're much older. And I get that with this song. The spirit that I get is it's a cute, crushy love song where she's just kind of coy and shy and sort of like hiding behind her guitar.
Yeah. Well, this is a great transition into the musical mixology of it, because I feel like when you were saying how she's like kind of, I wonder if like she was holding back and this is just like, how do I get the confidence to do it? When I hear that part, which opens up the song, like it's this thread throughout the song, and it is, from what I understand, like I'm not an OG Fearless listener, but like that's when you hear that humming, like that's Hey Steven. Like that's just like the big part of what this song is. Like that's the little lick.
I love to call it iconic.
Okay, it's iconic, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think of it as, like, that's this girl, like, holding back a secret, like, I don't want to tell it. Oh, my God, I'm nervous. Like, no, I shouldn't. And then she was just like, hey, Steven. You know, it just, like, blurts it out because she's, like, so nervous. And she just knows she can't get it out until she starts writing and singing. And I think that's just like really cute. And she goes back to that too. Like she goes back to the humming later in the song and it's right before she's about to like really tell the guy about how she feels. And I just think that's just such a cute, I just love when there's like an element to a song that's more than just the words and the music, but just something really iconic like that. It's funny to watch her when she does the, like it's hard to like you can't smile when you're going and so if you watch her performing it, she looks weird. She looks like she's frowning or something, or she's just like and I'm doing this.
I've always thought this, and this might be an unpopular opinion, please don't come at me, I've always thought that Taylor looks a little weird when she's like in the spotlight. She has this like adorably cute awkwardness to her, and I'm sure it really comes through when she, I watched the Hey Steven Taylor's Version lyric video on YouTube. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Okay, it's funny and cute and awkward all at the same time, because it's a collection of I'm assuming Taylor Swift's old MySpace pictures. And mind you, this is not fan made. This is like Taylor's team put this on Taylor Swift's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Of her like doing classic early 2000s selfies where she's like,
I thought I clicked on the wrong thing. Like I thought I was like watching not an official video.
And that is that's the music, the lyric video for Hey Steven are just these old MySpace pictures of Taylor holding up her cat or like making a kissy face to the camera. It's pleasantly awkward. I highly recommend it.
Maybe to her, she looks back on this as like, yeah, that was my awkward stage. And she's just so she's just so honest about herself and who she is, and like that would be like her to be like, that was who I was. Like I just, instead of being embarrassed by it, she's like, look, that was a stage, and let's honor what that song was and in that moment.
When is the time, I think it's happening right now, that we talk about the fact that the Steven guy also wrote a song about Taylor?
He did.
It's bringing me, it's giving me Enchanted.
Enchanted.
Adam from Owl City vibes.
Owl City.
I have had so many friends who listen to our podcast text me about that, Rachel. I can't believe your sister thought it was Owl City. I'm so glad.
Talk about embracing cringe moments, okay? I'm embracing it. Taylor and I are one and the same.
Unlike Owl City's enchanted response song, Stevens, it wasn't really a response song. I guess it was a song that he also wrote for Taylor around the same time. But the energy of that song is the same as Owl City because he's also like, you're curly hair, you're really pretty, like how could anybody say no to you? There's still this like weirdness where they don't ever get together, but yet they're like on tour together and they're singing songs about each other, but they don't get together. There's probably some behind the scenes happenings that, you know, have not been publicized that we will never know about. But his song
until
is actually,
the musical.
Yes, we will get that musical. Believe you me, best believe. But his song, Stephen's song, is actually pretty good. I forget what it's called. I don't know if you have it pulled up.
Try to make it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great song.
Your curly hair and your cowboy boots. How could anyone get over you? You must have really been a big old fool, baby.
Yeah, I liked his voice. Yeah. I was into it.
Yeah, he's got a good voice. I don't know where Steven's at now, but hey, Steven, if you're listening to this podcast, this episode is about you. Actually, it's mostly about Taylor. Sorry. Yeah, to wrap up the musical mixology, I just like that it's light and mm-hmm. upbeat, but not like super poppy. It's still like guitar-y and it's just it's fun. And I love that.
It's got that, like, boppiness that gets a crowd going. Like, I can see why this is a fan favorite because it's so fun to hear live. Like, it's so – you hear it and you can't help but, like, hum along. It's got, like, snappy, clappy moments at the end.
Snappy and clappy.
Exactly. That's how we're going to be at the end of this drinking our cocktails. Snappy and clappy. and then there's like an adorable giggle. And anytime there's a song of Taylor's with an adorable giggle, like sign me up. I am here for it.
Totally.
But before we get to that giggle, we're going to break down some of these lyrics.
Yes. I want to start this lyric breakdown with a theme that I get in this song, a theme that I think she uses. And you recognize this in your cocktail. The theme I get is the idea of light. She repeats this again and again with lines like, I know I saw a light in you.
Shine.
She says shine a number of times.
Nobody shine the way you do.
I feel like there's another word with the
street lights.
Yep. Thank you.
They're dimming the streetlights.
And I picked up on that. I just thought that was a little interesting. The shine part especially. And when else do we get this idea of light and shine? I picture the music video for Willow, I think, where there's like that golden string and it's glowing. Yeah. I mean, she probably sings about light. I think she does it in Death by a Thousand Cuts or...
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's daylight. There's like... in fact, like light comes... Light has a strong reference to love, I think, for her. And I kept thinking of Sparks Fly. There's that light again that she's like, when I'm with you, it's magic, it's Sparks Fly. I could like... That I can't help myself. I just jumped ahead to the lyrics, but that
let's get there.
Let's get there.
Let's start with verse one. Hey, Steven, I know looks can be deceiving, but I know I saw a light in you. And as we walked, we would talk.
I'm sorry.
Do I sound like Terry Gross?
I know. Yes, you did. This is like this is the Terry Gross interview with Taylor Swift. Has she ever done one of those?
I'm trying to bring a little bit more intellect to our podcast.
Okay, because we've been not very intellectual.
No, we're like cocktail intellectuals.
Keep going.
And as we walked, we would talk. and I didn't say half the things I wanted to. So, why is she singing "Looks Can Be Deceiving," but I know I saw a light in you?
So, she herself talks about, like, and I imagine this is pretty common for anyone that's in the stage and in front of an audience. Like, you don't know what all is going on in my life. Like, I have a face that I show everybody, and then there's something else that goes on inside. Or, like, I have to put up a strong front, and, like, inside I'm, like, kind of melting. Sure. And I think that I imagine they're both artists. They're both musical artists, and I imagine that was something that they shared together on this walk. Like, everyone thinks that you're just this, like, tough guy, super handsome tough guy, but maybe he's a softy inside, and, like, she's attracted to that, and he's let her in to that because they connected on that.
Yeah. That's fair.
Shared thing.
There you go. Thank you, Rachel.
You're very welcome.
I knew you had an analysis for that.
Well, and this is also, like, a preface that goes through the entire song. What I think is important to know is that this song uses a name frequently. Like, we hear Steven a lot. And that's not very common. There's Dear John is another example of that. But it's obvious, like, she uses that word a lot. And what I kept thinking of was when a girl, like, writes the guy's name in a notebook. Like, yeah. Like, and what she's doing, she rhymes Steven frequently with different words. Like, I know looks can be deceiving.
Feeling. Leaving.
Reasons
and Steven isn't the best rhyme, but it's implied. I mean,
it's not terrible. Feeling, reason, Steven.
Leaving, yeah.
Believing, yeah, that kind of stuff. So you're frequently pulled back to that name, and, like, I think the name itself has, like, a special meaning to her. I can imagine it's, like, that kind of name that you're just like, oh, so where's Steven? And she, like, gets, like, butterflies in her chest, and so I don't know. I think of that. So the other thing I wanted to say about Steven brings me back to my cocktail, because I told you that there's this Saint Steven. And I discovered on Swift Scholar.
Yes, we've called them out before. They've got a great Instagram where they, like, kind of similarly do what we do, is they analyze Taylor Swift lyrics and songs. What'd you find out?
So, first of all, in the Bible, in Acts, there is a verse that said, all saw his face as it had been the face of an angel, referring to Saint Stephen.
Interesting.
So we will get, as we go later on into the song, we get that note. Also, Stephen was stoned to death.
Yikes.
So, for his beliefs. And so later on, we will get the line, tossing rocks at your window.
Oh my gosh.
That interesting just took a connection.
Dark turn, honestly.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Taylor, I want to say this is, like, too much of a connection, but, like, she's super smart, and she'll find these, like, I feel like she would just be sitting around, like, Steven. I feel like she would find a connection. Like, I can't just sing a song about Steven. That's boring. Like, she would, like, put little things in there. I don't know. It could be quite a bit of a stretch, but I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. I guess that brings us into the second part of this verse here.
Yeah.
Of all the girls tossing rocks at your window, which she kind of references again in Love Story. Same era, same album, where Romeo is throwing pebbles.
Yeah.
I'll be the one. Okay, so I'm going to make another song reference here. I'll be the one waiting there even when it's cold. Reminds me of another Fearless song, You Belong With Me, where she sings about him being with other people, but she's better off for him. And she's saying, I'll be the one waiting there even when it's cold, as in, like, all these other girls tossing rocks at your window are not going to brave the storm. But she will, because
yes,
she likes him that much. We're going to get another You Belong With Me reference later on in the song, too. I'll get to that in a second. But
all right. Here we are at this, like, another saint connection. Because I can't help it if you look like an angel. Can't help it if I want to kiss you in the rain. Okay. I mentioned this before, but this girl loves to sing about rain.
Oh, my gosh.
She talks about it so many times.
There are so many rain references that Taylor Swift sings about.
And I was, like, thinking about that. Like, what is that? I mean, being in the rain can be very annoying.
Yeah, unless I hate the rain.
Unless you're, like, one, so vulnerable to be there. Like, true. And you're willing to be vulnerable with someone, or you are just, like, so distracted by the rain because you're so swept up in it. And it's also a little bit like love in the middle of chaos.
Yeah, which is Taylor Swift's life.
Totally. I think that Taylor, well, I think anyone, any writer particularly, has themes that they return to. I have said this before. I know I've said this before because there's a writer and I can never remember which writer it is. But, like, we as writers actually have the same themes that we return to over and over and again. I think I talked about it in Maroon, maybe. I don't know. So wow,
where are we?
Have we even hit the chorus?
Yeah, we're in the chorus. Wait. Can't help it if you look like an angel. Can't help it if I want to kiss you in the rain. What's so specifically interesting to me is the usage of the word if instead of that. I can't help it if you look like an angel. Can't help it if I want to kiss you in the rain. Rather than, I can't help it that you look like an angel. Because he does. If she were to use that, that's giving fact. If she were to use, can't help it that I want to kiss you in the rain, that's giving fact. But she uses if. Like, I guess it's all in her imagination then, in that sense. Like, it's not.
I feel like this is her way of saying how quickly she crushes over. This happens a lot to her. Clearly, we've already talked about it. This happened in Enchanted. This happened in Sparks Fly. This happens in Style in some sense, right? Like, when, like, she later, we might talk about in Delicate and Gorgeous, like, she spots somebody and she can't help it if the guy looks like an angel. She can't help it if the guy says her name.
Gold Rush too.
Yes, exactly. So I think actually that's a really interesting way of noticing that the word changes. She's making this about her, right? And even though this whole song, this whole song is about Steven, it's actually, no, it's just about her. It's just like about how.
It's definitely about her.
She feels for, like, how she crushes. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Okay, what does this mean? Can't help it if there's no one else. I can't help myself. Can't help it if there's no one else. What? That part confuses me. What is she saying? What is she saying? There's no one else for him or her?
I think she's saying, I can't help it if there's no one else I see. I can't help it. I can't help myself. Like, I see no one else. Can't help it if there's no one else.
Okay.
I can't help myself. Good cocktail. She says in this second it's this second part when she says, I've been holding back this feeling, so I got some things to say to you. Ha! And I thought that was really funny because is she laughing at herself? Is it like nervous laughter? Like, here
we go. It's nervous laughter. But what's also interesting is I'd never recognize it as a laughter ha. When you listen to the song, it just sounds like a huh.
Ha.
But when you read the lyrics, they list it as a ha.
Ha.
I think that's just a lyrical interpretation of what that sound was. But if it is supposed to be a laughter, it's definitely a nervous laughter because she has a crush and she's got some things to say to him. And you know. What I don't like about the song is she never, like, says the words, like, I like you or I want to be with you. Like, I want her to be like, I've got some things to say to you. And then she says, like, I like you. What she says is positive compliments about him. That's the whole song, is just, like, complimenting him. And I guess it's implied, but we never get
that. But I think that's the whole point. Like, she can't come right out and say, I like you. I want to be with you. Other than, like, come on over and let's see. Like, that would be really vulnerable. Be like, can we be boyfriend or girlfriend? Like, so instead, she says, the way you walk, the way you talk. Okay, I have some beef.
Okay.
You know how, this whole segment we call, like, Taylor with a Twist, right? Because she loves particularly to take, like, a second verse, use similar words, but, like, switch it around, twist it around. Okay. So if you go back up to the first section, there's a part where she says, of all the girls tossing rocks at your window. Okay. Then, but before that, it was, and as we walked, we would talk. I didn't say half the things I wanted to. Okay. She needed to put the we would, as we walked, we would talk, and I didn't say half the things I wanted to in the second part, because in the second verse, she says, the way you walk, way you talk, way you say my name, would have connected with, if she had sung it, as we walked, we would talk, then I didn't say half the things I wanted to.
Something so you're like mad that. At Taylor okay. for that, basically.
Yeah. She screwed up her ability to do a really cool Taylor twist.
I think that's the first time we've ever said, Taylor, you messed up. Taylor, you done effed up on this.
I mean, it's possible she had it like that, and then it just, like, didn't work with the flow, and her whatever made her switch it around.
I hear what you're saying, but I think it's great that she's actually bringing that back, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you say my name, and then connecting it to that first verse when, as we walked, we would talk, and I didn't say. I know why you're upset, but
I'm upset because it doesn't go with the right moment.
Yeah, but it's still, there's still that connection, and I think that is
fine.
That's brilliant.
Fine.
She's smart.
It is. It's just only like 50%.
If we want to be mad at something, let's be mad at the fact that, I mean, our mother, the grammar teacher that she is, would be so mad at this line, but I never seen nobody shine the way you do. That is the worst grammar Taylor has ever given us in any song that I can ever think of. I never seen nobody. I mean, I think she's just trying to tap into her country roots here, but
I think so.
There are so many grammatical errors with that line, and let's just hope, Mother, I know.
I bet she didn't write that. I bet somebody corrected that, like, made it country-ish for her.
Maybe, but this was not co-written by anybody, and if there was anybody that had any influence, she must include that as a co-writer, but we love a self-written Taylor Swift song. This is one of them, so I think she did that all on her own.
So, okay, back to the lyrics. Then she says, don't you ever change, which is another line, another word, change, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's another theme that she was exploring in Fearless, probably because she's growing up and things are changing. Mm-hmm. And that's even into Speak Now. I have never grow up on my mind so much lately. Mm-hmm. And I think that's her just exploring that her life is changing as she's, like, going, like, 19 into her 20s. Like, she's seeing things change, and there's a part of you at that age that doesn't want it to change. Hmm. Like, you want it, but yet you don't. And she wanted some permanence and, like, with a relationship.
Yeah. What is – I have another, like, is this a sad line? Hey, Steven, why are people always leaving? Who's people? What are they leaving?
Well, I think that's connected to that, I think you and I should stay the same. Like, I think she's noticing maybe friendships. Maybe she's leaving. Like, she has to leave a life of a typical teenager behind. And
well, and if he's also in the same industry that she is, then he can relate to this probably feeling of, as you grow up and you come, as you progress in this industry and you become more and more successful, you will lose people. But because you and I are kind of in the same industry, I think we should stay the same. I mean, they're literally touring together. But again, that's where this is confusing, because she wrote the song before they were touring together. I don't know the timeline of when they met or how they met. But, okay, we get another chorus, and then we got a bridge. I'm not going to say it's a banging bridge.
It's not a banging bridge.
But it's a,
weird bridge.
It's a little weird.
Okay, this bothers me. Dimming the street lights, you're perfect for me. Those things don't connect together.
Well, again, there's that theme of lights. Maybe she's just trying to connect it to the light theme. They're dimming the streetlights, as in, like, the world, the universe is like bringing on the ambiance. And she views him as like this romantic, perfect connection where, like, you know, the sparks are flying and the lights are dimming around them. Why aren't you here tonight? I'm waiting all alone now. So come on and come out and pull me near and shine, shine, shine. Listen, this is not the most in-depth bridge we've ever gotten from Taylor Swift.
No, it's not my favorite bridge.
It does not make the top 10. It does not make the top 20.
Nope.
I don't even know if it makes the top 50. And at this point, we have probably, what, 250-ish songs?
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry, Taylor. I know that you're listening. I no offense, but this is not our favorite bridge. I'm glad, Rachel, that you and I can agree on this.
No offense. Do better.
Oh, damn.
Just kidding.
She does.
And she will.
They're dimming the streetlights. You're perfect for me. Why aren't you here tonight? I'm waiting alone now, so come on and come out and pull me near and shine, shine, shine. I don't connect with this, and I feel like it's a bit cheesy, but she loves that shine reference, and it's like kind of what we get. And I'm considering this.
I mean, it's fun to sing shine, shine, shine. Like,
it's fun.
I get it.
It's fun. The song is fun, by all means. It's fun. Now, this next part, I kind of consider part of the bridge. Hey, Steven, I could give you 50 reasons why I should be the one you choose. That's my cocktail reference, actually, right there.
It is. Cheers to that.
All those other girls, and this is another connection I make with You Belong With Me, where there's other girls involved that want to be with him, but would they write a song for you? That's my favorite part of the whole song.
I love that. It's so cute.
And then the laugh. Now, have you listened to non-Taylor's version, Hey Steven?
No.
You don't need to. What I'm going to say is the Taylor's version laugh is so much better than the OG laugh. The OG laugh sounds very unnatural. And the Taylor's version laugh is very natural. And I love that. And
yeah.
So that's.
Is it as cute as the laugh from This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things at the most recent concert? Because that laugh was adorable.
Okay, I have issues with that laugh in the song. Especially I have issues with that laugh during the Reputation Stadium tour. I get very uncomfortable during that laugh. So that's a loaded question, what you just asked me.
Ooh, we're going to save that for when we do that episode. This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things.
Yes. But this laugh in this moment of the song, Hey Steven, Taylor's version, is a classic, and it's one of my favorite parts of Fearless. Would they write
it's
a song
really
for
cute, you?
It's
really cute, because she's like...
It's so cute. It's very meta. She's bringing it back to who she is, and this is actually another great example of the confidence that she has. You know, I've mentioned how I don't think this song she's very confident, but maybe I take that back, because this part, she knows that she's better than all these girls, because they don't have the artistic ability that she has. They wouldn't write a song.
But maybe that's why when she first sang the song, the laugh was so awkward, because she doesn't actually have the confidence.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that awkward laugh.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And now she's like, I write songs about a lot of guys now, so that's who I am.
Absolutely.
Alrighty. Then, I mean, we've gotten ourselves back into some more
lyrically. I think we've tackled it, Rachel.
I mean, one final note. I love analyzing the placement of a song on an album, and it's really interesting to me how we go from Hey Steven, it's number 4 on the Fearless album. We move into a 5-track, which is White Horse.
When does anybody say a 5-track?
Track 5. Sorry. Dang.
So funny.
It's a track 5, White Horse, which is all about, like, that no one is saving her. And it's a girl that's been waiting for this. And, like, she's just reminding herself, like, you don't need to be saved. You don't need to wait. So I just think that's really interesting that she even, like, answered her own thing. Like, stop waiting around under street, dimming streetlights for this guy. Because he's not coming around to save you with your white horse.
Yeah.
Just saying.
This is a great, uplifting bop. The message isn't the most uplifting. Because it's... it's a little desperate. It's a little bit. It's a little bit not sad, but I guess just desperate. Just leave it at that. It's desperate.
It's cringy.
It's cringy. The lyrically, it's cringy. Maybe a little bit, not overly cringy, not as bad as Owl City's Enchanted, but I love this song. I love to bounce to this song. It's a really fun part of the Fearless album. It's a fun. I don't want to call it a bop. I consider bops to be like drums and
ready for it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's definitely like it's a guitar bop. How about that?
It's bubbly. You said it earlier, bubbly. Like this was going to be a bubbly episode, and I feel like that's a great word for this song.
Yeah,
it's bubbly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey Sam, it seems that they're dimming the streetlights on our podcast, so I think this means our podcast is over. And I'm sure we didn't say half the things we wanted to say.
Well, Rachel, I've been holding back this feeling. So I've got some things to say to you. Basically, it's time to reveal next week's song.
I hope you've thought about it. Sometimes you forget that it's your turn. It's your turn.
Oh, I've been thinking about this.
Okay, good.
For 3 years, basically, to the date.
Oh my God.
3 years to the date.
Oh!
Yes! I feel like you know where I'm going with this.
I mean, I know what album. Oh! Wait, when does this podcast go live?
You know what I'm on to, because Rachel, this next episode will be the first episode in the month of August. So we are going to do...
back when they would still change for the better. Wanting was enough. For me, it was enough. That was really bad. We're going to work on that by next week. We've got time.
Okay, so next week is going to be August. It's my favorite folklore track.
Perfect.
Cannot wait. Until then, hey, Swiggies. We could give you 50 reasons why we should be the one you choose. All those other podcasts, well, they're beautiful, but would they make a cocktail for you? That was a natural laugh because that was the first time I ever read that. That was actually pretty funny. Follow us over on social media at Swift and Swigs Podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and rate and review our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us on. We also want to plug here. We want to hear your Eras Tour experience feedback. Now, I know not all of our Swiggies have probably been to the Eras Tour. Maybe you have tickets for a future show, or maybe you're not attending at all. But if you have attended and you're listening, we want to hear your experience. And the way that you can do that, we will link to this in our show notes. You can leave us a voice message. It's only 1 minute long. That's all you're allowed. So good luck giving us all of your feelings of the Eras Tour in 60 seconds. But we want to compile a collection of all of our listeners' fun experiences from the Eras Tour. So we'll link to that.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, sister.
You, that was a good episode.
Yes, it was indeed.
Fun.
Cheers.
Cheers. Well, that sounds like the pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.